brought to you by Penguin.
A world without work. Technology, automation, and how we should respond. By Daniel Susskind. Read by Daniel Susskind. For Grace and Rosa. Introduction. The great manure crisis of the 1890s should have come as no surprise. For some time, in big cities like London and New York, the most popular forms of transport had relied upon horses, hundreds of thousands of them, to heave cabs, carts, wagons, wains, and a variety of other vehicles through the streets. As locomotives, horses were not particularly efficient. They had to take a break to rest and recover every few miles, which partly explains why quite so many were needed. Operating a basic carriage, for example, required at least three animals, two working in rotation to pull it along, plus one in reserve in case of a breakdown. The horse-drawn tram, the transit mode of choice for New Yorkers, relied on a team of eight, which took turns dragging it on a set of specially laid tracks. And in London, thousands of horse-drawn double-decker buses, modestly sized versions of today's red ones, demanded about a dozen animals apiece for the task. With these horses came manure, and lots of it. A healthy horse produces somewhere between 15 and 30 pounds of manure a day, almost the weight of a two-year-old child. One enthusiastic health officer working in Rochester, New York, calculated that the horses in his city alone produced enough in a year to cover an acre of land to a height of 175 feet, almost as high as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Apocryphally, people at the time extrapolated from these calculations to an inescapably manure-filled future. A New York commentator who predicted that piles would soon reach the height of third-story windows. A London reporter who imagined that by the middle of the 20th century, the streets would be buried under 9 feet of the stuff. Nor was the crisis simply about manure. Thousands of putrefying dead horses littered the roads, many deliberately left to decay to a size that made for easier disposal. In 1880 alone, about 15,000 horse carcasses were removed from New York City. It is said that policymakers did not know what to do. They couldn't simply ban horses from the streets. The animals were far too important. In 1872, when the so-called horse plague hit the United States, with horses struck down by one of the worst outbreaks of equine flu in recorded history, large parts of the country's economy came to a halt. Some even blame the epidemic for that year's Great Fire of Boston. 700 buildings burned to the ground, they claim, because there were not enough horses to pull firefighting equipment to the scene. But the twist in the tale is that, in the end, policymakers didn't need to worry. In the 1870s, the first internal combustion engine was built. In the 1880s, it was installed in the first automobile. And only a few decades later, Henry Ford brought cars to the mass market with his famous Model T. By 1912, New York had more cars than horses. 5 years after that, the last horse-drawn tram was decommissioned in the city. The great manure crisis was over. The parable of horseshit, as Elizabeth Colbert called it in The New Yorker, has been told many times over the years. In most versions of the story, the decline of horses is cast in an optimistic light, as a tale of technological triumph, a reassuring reminder that it's important to remain open-minded even when you find yourself knee-deep in a foul, seemingly intractable problem. But for Wassily Leontief, the Russian-American economist who won the Nobel Prize in 1973, the same events suggested a more unsettling conclusion. What he saw instead was how a new technology, the combustion engine, had taken a creature that, for millennia, had played a central role in economic life, not only in cities but on farms and fields, and, in only a matter of decades...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?